Welcome to Business Jazz with Paul O'Mahony and Roger Overall. The podcast about how to be genuinely attractive in business today.
So I'm immediately, we finish recording Business Jazz. I'm going to Google that. I just cannot. And that's a good thing about having conversations with you, that they make me realize, well, I think I should better go off and check that up.
See, that's the up. So you have a conversation with me and you realize what you don't know. I have a conversation with you and I learn something. I actually walk away with my knowledge enriched rather than a grave, gaping hole exposed.
Discovering that you're discovering what you don't know is learning.
It is.
As far as I'm concerned. Because it just means I have to then go and learn it.
Welcome to Business Jazz. Welcome to Paul's Kitchen. And my name's Roger Overall.
And I'm Paul O'Mahony.
And asleep in the corner is...
Is a dog who is new, an English setter, whose name is Louis, and he's only been in this house, this is his fourth day. So there's a slight chance that he may appear as a guest on the show.
Which is why I thought I would do you the service, listener, of introducing Louis, because Louis may also start whining, because of course he's new.
As a guest on the show.
He's working up. What we are going to talk about, because we actually have a topic, because I want to talk about an experience I had while I was travelling for show and tell in the UK.
Let me interrupt for one second, because you use the word whining, and we've already used in our conversation, whether it gets in the show or not, it's another issue, complaints.
Oh dear.
Apple are not very good at dealing with complaints, right? And now we've got a dog who may whine. So we got complaining and whining.
I know, which is fitting because we're about to hear Roger whine and complain about his hotel experience. Well, I won't whine and complain. I will.
Okay, why were you
mutually as possible? Okay. Try and tell you about my.
Why are you going to complain about a hotel in the UK? Why? Did they lose your booking?
They did not lose my booking.
Right.
They knew exactly who I was.
Well, what on earth did you have to complain about then? Was the bed full of lice?
Oh, no, Paul, the bed was fantastic. I slept beautifully. The room was clean. The bed was pristine.
Don't tell me the showers, the cold water.
No, it was hot water. Unlike, I was in Dublin the week before and the water was a bit cold. No, this was hot. This was good. And it was a powerful stream. So all that
was there room in the room to hang up your several suits you usually travel with?
There was room to hang up the one suit I own, yes. there was room for that. There were plenty of plugs. Normally I have to travel with my own...
Was there Wi-Fi in the room?
There wasn't.
Was there Wi-Fi downstairs?
Not that I'm aware of, but I didn't mind that.
You went to a hotel that didn't have Wi-Fi?
Well, I didn't necessarily need it.
Okay. You have nothing to complain about. This sounds like a dream. What's the name of this hotel, please? I want to go and stay there.
We'll say it's in a place called Bishop Stortford.
Bishop
Stortford.
S-T-O-R-T.
Which is near Stansted Airport Stortford. In the UK. But let me tell you my story. Because Paul is absolutely right.
This better be good.
Paul is absolutely right. On the face of it, nothing wrong with this hotel. Even to the point, the attention to detail. The bathroom light stopped working. And I was leaving the hotel for my meeting in London. It was 6 o'clock. So I thought, well, there's not going to be anybody around at 6 o'clock in the morning. I'll have to tell them when I get back that the light in the bathroom is no longer working. Well, when I got back, they'd already fixed it. They'd noticed it wasn't working and they'd fixed it. So what could possibly be wrong with this hotel?
Well, this is a genuinely attractive hotel, Roger. Everything you've told me so far
Shall I unattractive?
And certainly you somehow or other were attracted to it because you end up in a room there. Either somebody else recommended it to you or you went online and looked at, you know, or whatever you call these easy travelers. What are they called?
TripAdvisor. Yes, I did. I went online and I found a hotel in Bishop Stortford. It turns out it's the only hotel in Bishop Stortford. Anyway, let me tell you my story. I arrived in Bishop Stortford probably about 3 hours before check-in time. So I knew I couldn't check in, but that wasn't a problem. I was meeting John Hicks, Show and Tell's new sales director. And he picked me up from the station, and it was around 12 o'clock-ish, so he thought, we'll go for lunch. Now, Bishop Stortford is not a large place, so you very quickly walk past all the landmarks, including the hotel I was staying in. And as we're walking past on our way to go and have lunch somewhere, John says to me, actually, there's a really nice bread and breakfast. If this place doesn't work out, there's a really nice bread and breakfast just round the corner, and let's just go and have a peek. So we walked up just so I could see where it was in relation to everything. And it was smack bang dead in the centre of town, which is great, which is exactly where this hotel is as well. Now you might be thinking, well, why are you saying this? Why are you telling us about a detour up to see a bed and breakfast? This will become apparent later in the story. But check-in was at 3 o'clock, so I knew I couldn't check in. So John and I went for lunch, and over lunch in a nearby pub, we spoke about business and we spoke about the things we're going to be doing together. And eventually it was time to move on. And it had got so late, we were thinking about dinner. So I said, well, before we have dinner, let me just check into the hotel and get rid of my my bags. So we went to the hotel and we walked through the door, and it's an unmanned check-in, which is not a problem because there's a bell and you press the bell. And presumably if you press the bell, somebody appears. So we pressed the bell. Nothing happened.
What do you mean? The bell didn't work?
Sorry, the bell worked, and we could tell the bell worked because actually next to the bell was a sign, and it said, if the light goes on, the bell has worked. That should have been a warning sign, actually, thinking about it retrospectively. So we pressed the bell, the little light came on, and after a while we thought, well, we've given them enough time to respond to the bell. Maybe they didn't hear it. Let's press the bell again. So we did. Nothing happened again. A third time we pressed the bell and waited. And you wait that length of time that you think, okay, somebody needs to hear it and they might be in the middle of something and they just need to finish that and then they'll come down to us. No. So at this point we thought, maybe there's nobody here. Let's ring the number of the hotel because, you know, worst case scenario, the telephone behind the reception desk goes. Best case scenario, somebody somewhere else picks up the phone. So we ring the hotel number and we say, they answer it and we say, we're in reception. And the first thing they say is, which hotel are you in? So this number does at least double duty. As I found out later on, it actually does triple duty. There are three hotels that...
In Bishop Stortford?
No, I don't even know where the other two hotels are. For all I know, one is in Wales and one is in Scotland.
Go on.
So which hotel are you in? Well, we're in this hotel here. And, okay, well, we'd like to check in and there's nobody here. Well, we'll find somebody for you. Great, thank you. Hang up the phone and we're waiting. Nothing happens. In the meantime, I press the bell again. Still nothing happens.
How long now, Roger? Give me an idea. I mean, this is getting serious. How much time has passed
from the time you
walked in the door of the hotel?
I think we're up to about 20 minutes, but there's a dispute about this now. There's a dispute about how long we were waiting.
I see. So it's somewhere in the range of 3 minutes and 20.
Well, 0 minutes and 20.
All right, okay, go on.
But you know how time draws out when you're waiting, and in your mind you're thinking, this building is not that big.
Okay, it felt like 20 anyway.
It felt long.
Okay, the customer's perception was that it was 20 minutes.
Yes, exactly.
Right.
The customer's perception was that this was taking far too long.
Yeah.
So we rang again, we rang the number again, and they said, well, we're trying to find somebody.
Right.
Which makes you think, well, okay. So they don't actually have somebody whose yeah. job it is to be on standby. Yeah. They're trying to find somebody who might be nearby.
Right. Okay. So there's nobody in the hotel, right? Well, what time of the day was this? 4 o'clock?
It would be 4 or 5 o'clock. 5 o'clock-ish, because we were sort of thinking we should be going for dinner.
You should have come back the following morning. They would have had staff on in the morning.
They did not have staff. Anyway, you said there's nobody in the hotel. How wrong could we be? Because no sooner had we had the second phone call,
yes,
than at the top of the stairs, this lady appeared.
Right.
And
Gentleman, a lady.
No, a lady.
A lady, right.
Well.
Go on. Now, anyway, have you realised that the legal system prevents us from making any statements that could identify this person? Right. So just tell me about the customer's perception.
The customer's perception was that she was hostile and defensive immediately. And she said, come on up. So we walked up and she took us to an office.
Come on up doesn't sound hostile. It sounds come on up.
No, you make it sound come on up and come and see my etchings. That was not the way it was said. This okay. was a commandment. Rather than an invitation. So we went up, did John and I, and we were taken into her office, and John was kind of laughing, and she said, what are you laughing at? And he said, well, I was just laughing at how long it took for somebody to, come and check Roger in. I said, well, you know, how long were you waiting? Oh, it must have been 20 minutes, John said. No, it wasn't, she said. It was 15. So we thought, we're getting off to a good start here. And I thought, look, let's not antagonise this lady.
Hang on, you're saying that there was a... You said it was 20.
Yeah.
And the person in charge of reception said it's 15.
Yes.
Wow. How long did you spend arguing about the difference between 15 and 20?
I thought, let's not antagonise this lady.
Go on.
Because
yeah.
let's just get on yeah. with the checking in, please.
Yeah.
So... We're checking in, and there's a whole sort of, I won't say, it's a little bit tense because she's quite aggressive, and I thought, well, look, let's just get this over and done with. And then she made a comment as she was checking in, and she said, that place you were looking at earlier, that's closed. And we thought, which place is this? And it was the bed and breakfast that John had said, oh, there's a nice bed and breakfast up the road here. So she had watched us and she remembered us from hours earlier, not knowing that I'd be the person checking in. And the hotel and her office is on a corner, and it's a corner office, and she has superb view, if you like, of the centre of town. And John made this throwaway comment and said, well, you've got a superb vantage point here, haven't you? And she said, in the most sinister voice I've ever heard, yes, I do. Now, I'll be honest with you, I at that point had in my head... Do not say this out loud, because sometimes I say things and I shouldn't. But I did. So I did think to myself, well, thank goodness she hasn't got a sniper's rifle. And then subsequently thought, well, for all I know, she has. So she'd been scanning out. She just watches everything that happens. Now,
I hope this gets an awful lot worse to make it really interesting.
Well, I haven't got to the pregnant woman yet.
Right. Oh, dear.
Anyway, so... Yes. And then it turns out that she'd had actually been watching us all that time, because we figured out she was in the hotel all the time. She had been watching us using one of the three security cameras that she has in reception. So she could see us. She knew we were there.
So this is a person who's always on the lookout for new customers and watches people walking through Bishop Stortford who might be keen on an accommodation place, so that she's ready to welcome them into the hotel as soon as they have found everywhere else shut.
Yes, that's exactly it. And she welcomes you with antagonism. Anyway, let's move on. So... We were checking in, and she said, so what's the weather like in Ireland? I hear it rains a lot. Now, I've lived here for a while, and yes, it does rain, but it doesn't rain unnecessarily more than in the UK. It's not something that makes me think, my God, every single day it rains. So I said, well, I can't remember what I said.
I quote you on that? Ireland, it doesn't rain unnecessarily.
Yes, it only rains when it has to, which is quite a lot. That's true. But it doesn't rain here all the time. So I said, well, it doesn't really. And she said, well, she phrased it in a way which was along the lines of, everybody I've met from Ireland is lying to me then. And that's how she said it. Everybody in Ireland is lying to me then. I'm sure you've got some kind of nice way of phrasing that, but to me that's kind of passive aggressive and is saying either they're lying or you're lying. So I did say to her, well, one of us is lying then, aren't we? And I was inviting her to call me a liar.
Roger.
But, so we are now at the point of...
Were you in a bad mood?
Was I in a bad mood?
Yes.
Not at all.
Go on. Go. Okay.
So we have somebody here who knew we were in reception, wasn't responding to the bell.
Yes.
Knew we'd made two phone calls, and only on the second phone call made herself known, and had been watching us for some time.
Yes.
I found it quite eerie to hear from her, oh, I watched you go and check out the other hotel. I found that quite spooky. And the hostility with which the whole rain situation in Ireland was described. By the way, we're sitting in Paul's kitchen and sunlight is streaming in. So you might say, well, Roger, you're overplaying this. Yes, you were grumpy. You're misinterpreting these signs. And maybe it was a one-off. Maybe this has never happened before. Let's take that as maybe that's the case. Maybe I was in a grumpy mood. John was in a funny mood. We upset her and we antagonised her somehow by standing in her reception, Lord knows how. Or that she just hadn't been able to see us. She didn't know we were there.
Or perhaps she was in the bathroom needing to stay there for between 15 and 20 minutes. Let us play the ultimate charitable card.
Okay.
Right.
Fair enough.
Go on. This doesn't in any way invalidate your feelings, which at this stage were, contained disgruntlement.
Bemusement. I felt almost insulted.
Also,
I have to say, the tone with which you were speaking was very aggressive.
Okay.
The next day? I think it was. John and I had gone out to the pub to watch a football match, and on my way back after the football match, a taxi pulls up behind me and winds down its window and says, we're looking for this hotel. So I said, well, actually, it's only 200 yards away and I'll probably get there before you do because you need to do a U-turn and the rest of it. So I got to the hotel at exactly the same moment as the taxi arrived, and out stepped a pregnant, heavily pregnant lady. So she wasn't quite sure where the hotel was, and I said, look, I'm staying there. It's around the corner here. So we walked into reception together and I said, look, here's the bell, press that, and somebody will come. And I went up to my room, and then I thought, well, do you know what? This is a heavily pregnant lady, and maybe my experience of the less than warm welcome plus the long wait will be repeated here, and it's quite late at night at this stage, so let me just go down and this poor lady isn't sitting in this ice cold reception on her own. So I went down and I said, look, you might need to ring that bell several times, which she did.
Yes.
We went through the exact same process. And then I said, you'll have to ring. Here's the number, ring them.
So phone the hotel and...
Yeah. Well, not the hotel, the number and get...
The call centre.
The call centre, good point. Same question again.
Yes.
Which hotel are you in?
Yes.
We represent three hotels.
Yes.
And eventually, the lady appeared. Now, when I went upstairs and we got into our little set-to with the during check-in, John got us into hot water by giggling at, you know, what was happening. And
right.
She latched onto him and said, why are you laughing? What's so funny?
Yes.
In this particular instance, the same lady appeared, top of the stairs.
Yes.
But the pregnant lady was well able for her. So she said, look, I'm not happy. And immediately got a mouthful of, well, what's your problem? And in that tone. And she said, well, I'm not happy because I've been waiting. Well, what's your problem? So I thought, okay, what do I do here? Well, do you know what? This lady here is well able for the other lady. She'll get checked in. She'll be fine. But I did hover, I have to say, around the corner just to make sure that she was checked in, because in my mind's eye, I thought, I wouldn't put it past this lady to actually get into a row and not give you access. This is like Fawlty Towers, but without the charm.
Well, of course, I and anyone else who's ever seen Fawlty Towers is saying to themselves, when is Basil going to appear?
Well,
right, or Manuel.
Basilette had already appeared. Yes. If Manuel had appeared, it would have been fantastic, because it would have been somebody helpful. So people listening to this, they might be thinking, well,
is that the last you heard? The eventually the two...
That's the last I heard. Well, no, I heard that the pregnant lady did actually get access to a room, because I heard...
Right. You know, well, there doesn't seem to be any alternative in Bishop Stortford. You either sleep in this particular hotel, or you get a taxi to the nearest village.
You get a taxi to... I think there are a couple of hotels on the outskirts, or you stay at the airport. There must be airport hotels.
Stanford?
Yeah, and Stanford's only 10 minutes away by train, but look, anyway.
Right, okay.
To come to our point, and people are probably sick of me talking by now, but listen, you go from a hotel that... So how do you describe a hotel like this? Because you could say, on the one hand, the room, spotlessly clean. Attention to detail, flawless. The bed sheets, everything very freshly washed. Everything works, everything's clean. There was the attention to detail in terms of even having a power brick. I mean, I usually travel with a power brick because there are never enough outlets in a hotel room. And here they'd actually thought of that by providing you a power brick and not just a mealy-mouthed two-plug option. No, this was a full-on 8 or 10-plug option. So on the one hand, if you were writing a review, you'd say, and it's in slap bang in the middle of town.
Yes.
So you'd say, what an attractive hotel is this? This is fantastic. Except the reception that I got and the reception I saw this pregnant lady get was such that it would put me off staying there ever again.
Okay, so Roger, look, from that... distasteful experience that you had in a hotel which was in every respect perfect, in every respect attractive at the very least, genuinely attractive, except for the human element.
And that's an important thing, though. That is an important thing. What makes the experience of a hotel, what makes the experience of a 5-star hotel? Well, the room's going to be fantastic. It's a given, it's a 5-star hotel. But surely it's the staff and how you're treated, that makes the experience of a hotel.
Well, we could have a whole episode of Business Jazz about what's important from the point of view of a hotel. However, I'd much prefer to do that in the company of a hotel manager. So let us plan that Business Jazz will have on the show someday a general manager or an owner of a hotel.
You can manage that.
Or else somebody who stayed in, you know, thousands of hotels around the world and earns their living as a hotel reviewer. But
thank you, Philly. Anyway,
right.
Yes.
So there we are. What I want to know is about you, not about hotels. I want to know, what have you learned that is useful to the people listening on Business Jazz this week. You have described your experience. You've carried it around with you for several days. Halfway through it, I began to think I was your therapist and you were venting and I was going to have to feed back to you the pattern of your language from hostile, defensive, aggressive, sinister, antagonistic. And I was distracted by your reference to it only rains in Ireland when it's necessary, or it doesn't rain unnecessarily.
That was an unfortunate turn of phrase.
All of those things, and you felt insulted. But look, in the middle of it all, I thought I was going to be your therapist. And perhaps when we finished recording Business Jazz, I can be your therapist. But I want to ask you first is, what have you learned that would be useful to somebody who wants their business to be genuinely attractive?
Okay. This ties in fact, with the last episode with your experience. Your experience was good. But it's a similar thing. Your experience was good. So where the product was maybe deficient or in some way was bothering you, wasn't working for you. Certainly there have been complaints about Apple products, but your experience of the human side was such that you've said on this program, unless somebody else's customer service is not as good as, but is spectacularly better, is going to have to be considerably better. That's how important the human element is. And in my particular case, and here is the analogy, the product, the actual product of the room was very good. I have no complaints about the room. I've got no complaints about any of that. So the product, I would say, look, it wasn't a 5-star hotel and nothing like that, but the product itself was excellent. Absolutely excellent. But then you throw in the human aspect of it, and the human aspect was such that the excellent product doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how excellent the product is. If the experience of the human side of it, and that is my takeaway, is that you could have an absolutely phenomenal product, absolutely brilliant. It could be the best product in the world. You could be, I was going to give an example that got us into trouble before. But you could have the world's most amazing soup, okay? It could be fantastic and delicious soup. But if the personal experience of this soup is not nice, if ordering this soup isn't an attractive proposition, if the person making the soup is so rude to you, so horrible to you, well, then that detracts from the product. Who you are and how you treat your customers has a definite influence on how they experience your product and actually whether they will use your product again, regardless of how good it is.
So I'm going to translate that into the formula that says, if the product is a plus and the human side is a minus, they don't balance each other out. The end result is a minus. So this leads that plus and minus added together equal minus. Right. Product excellent, human poor, outcome result minus.
Yes, there you
are. Okay, so that's your key thing, that the human factor is more important in terms of its influence than the product. Although I realise I'm putting words in your mouth and that isn't what you said, is it?
I would say, look, if your product is bad, I mean really bad, there's no saving you. I mean, you could be the nicest person on the planet. If your product is truly astonishingly rubbish, you're done for. However, if your product is passable, adequate, it does what it should do, doesn't do it spectacularly, but you are a fantastically nice human being, it's really easy to deal with you as a company, that may actually be enough to convince people to buy your product. And vice versa, if your product is absolutely stonkingly brilliant, but you don't treat your customers properly, or they don't feel that they're being treated properly, then your product could be the best in the world, but I think you're going to lose business.
I'm going to say one more thing, and if there's time to include it in the program, we include it, but if there isn't, it'll have to be left out. I noticed you said that the heavily pregnant woman was more effective at dealing with the receptionist than you were. Tell me why.
She met the receptionist. She was as antagonistic and as direct and forthright and downright hostile as the receptionist was. So she was meeting this lady with...
So she met her, what you called, aggression with aggression.
Yes. She fought fire with fire.
One little thing is, when, as you told the story, though, the impression I formed of the heavily pregnant lady is that she was assertive, not aggressive.
Good
now,
point.
Is that a topic
good
for point, another program?
Good point, good point. I suppose it all depends on how you experience assertiveness. I mean, she was assertive, and then when she got a frosty/hostile reception, she...
was more assertive.
I'd say she got quite hostile herself.
Right. Well, that lady will be appearing on the show next week, I can tell you. She's phoned in this morning and she has said that she'd like to come and discuss the way in which she was treated by the man who brought her into the hotel.
Yeah, maybe that put her in.
Where can people get in touch with you, Roger Overall, by the way?
They can get in touch with me through showandtellcommunications.net. That's where I am. Where can they find out about you, Paul?
You can get in touch with me on the internet as Omani Blog, OmaniBlog. And you can get in touch with me at showandtellcommunications.net.
Thank you very much for listening. We appreciate your time. We did ramble on, well, I rambled on, a bit longer than normal this time. But thank you very much for staying with us. And if we can ask a favour, if there's somebody that you think would benefit, some hotelier, that you think might benefit from listening to this episode, would you pass it on to them? We'd love to have new listeners.
End of story. Please cut out the bit about you saying we rambled on too long, if it was me. Those kind of self-disparaging remarks, no, we don't want them in the show.